Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Good morning, at least on the West Coast. Another episode of the Saints Block Party Podcast. The amazing Greg Cosell of NFL Films, NFL Films, NFL Matchup, goes on and talks with Ross Tucker and breaks down the game. Just an insanely knowledgeable football mind joins us again. Actually, I got a notification last week that a year had passed since you were the last time on the show. So thank you for rejoining and joining us for having a great conversation talking New Orleans Saints. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for joining us. So let's just get kind of right into it. It's a big season for the Saints. Dennis Allen is trying to improve the team, save his job. Clint Kubiak's the new offensive coordinator. I think that's kind of like the big change, yeah, in terms of schematically how the team's going to be offensively. It's getting away from the Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael offense, which is new and exciting because that's been in place for about two decades. What just impressions of Clint Kubiak, what you remember from him when he was offensive coordinator for the Vikings, and maybe some things that we may be looking forward to see that he's implementing with the Saints offense?
Well, I think guys, it'll be a combination of kind of his dad and Kyle Shanahan. I think it'll be a combination of that offense. And so what does that mean? I think what you'll see is you'll see a lot more play action and play action under center. You'll see a lot more play action with the outside zone run game. Because remember one thing, everybody thinks about play action, and we'll get to this in a minute, as having an impact on second-level defenders, but outside zone run action has a major impact on defensive linemen. Why? Because their first move is laterally, not vertically. So that's why the outside zone run element can be so critical. If you go back to when McVay had Goff in with the Rams and they had Gurley and they ran all those outside zone play actions. And I remember doing a ton of pieces for the matchup show, and we'd see the defensive line move laterally. And that's a critical piece. But the other part of that is the second level defenders, clearly, because you're putting them in conflict because they have a run responsibility and they have a pass coverage responsibility. So you're putting them in conflict. So I think that's one part of it. Another part of it will be motion. I assume it will be a part of it. Motion is something that quarterbacks have to be comfortable with. I certainly don't know Derek Carr personally. I would assume, being a veteran in the league, having seen a lot, he would not have a problem with the deployment of motion. But motion was a big part, clearly, of the Mike Shanahan style of offense. So I would expect to see a lot of that. The other things you'll see are probably more reduced splits, more tight splits. That's also a big part of it. It's tougher to press with tight splits, and it puts a little more of a burden on coverage, particularly if you have tight bunch. You know, that's something you see a lot with a Shanahan offense. You see a lot of reduced splits. So, you know, I think these are some of the things you'll see. You'll probably see more play action boot. You know, Carr does have mobility. You'll get him outside the pocket. You'll probably see a lot more misdirection elements where they try to get the eyes of the defense one way, you know, to react to something, and then the play goes a different way. So I think these are all elements that you will see that ideally help the offense and make it more difficult for the defense to defend.
just real quick, when you say tight splits, maybe for our listeners who aren't familiar with what a tight split is, can you give like a little like a layman's terms of what a tight split is?
Yeah, where the receivers are closer to the formation. So in other words, you could have your wide receiver, the widest wide receiver could be only 5 yards from the offensive tackle or the tight end, as opposed to split outside by more by the numbers, let's say. So, you know, we call those tight splits, reduced splits, cut splits. You know, every team has different terms for all that, but just closer to the formation.
It's exciting, Greg. I mean, one of the issues we had, you know, with the Saints last year with Pete Carmichael's offense, it was kind of all over the place. Lack of motion, it didn't seem to have like a real identity offensively week to week. I mean, even players like Alvin Kamara would say that, you know, we lack identity. So I think Dennis Allen really wants that going in. As far as the run game, a lot of talk about the pass game, but really it feels like Clint Kubiak is brought in to improve the run game. The Saints run game hasn't been good for the past couple years. It's horrible last year. What does that outside zone scheme do to kind of make life easier for running backs like Alvin Kamara, Kendre Miller, and guys like that?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ryan, because I should have really started with that, because I think that they one of the things that a Shanahan Kubiak offense has is it starts with the run game. And I think it was pretty evident by their first pick in the draft, and we'll get to that obviously, that they want to run the football. They want to be physical. They want to run the ball. They want to dictate to the defense that, hey, you have to defend the run. And by the way, it's a total myth that you can't run the ball against eight-man fronts. So teams that want to run the ball and do run the ball well get eight-man fronts. But you can run the ball against eight-man fronts. And I think they want to have the belief. I'm sure they do. I mean, I don't know Clint Kubiak personally, obviously, but I'm sure they have the belief that they want to line up and run the ball regardless of what the defensive fronts look like and have that be the starting point of what they do on offense. Now, when I say outside zone, that doesn't mean it's exclusive to that, Ryan. That's obviously going to be a part of it. I mean, you've seen through the years, even a Kyle Shanahan offense has gotten a lot more with gap scheme run game where they pull a guard, where they pull, I mean, they do a lot of stuff. I mean, they'll use Kittle and Juszczyk as a sense pullers and wrappers in the run game. But the point is it's not just the zone run game. I'm sure they want to have a multiple run game that presents different looks to the defense and can attack in different ways. And as I said, I'm sure that's one reason why when it got to be their pick, they picked 14th, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm 14th. Sure. And by the way, I love Fuaga's tape a lot, but I'm sure that's one reason why they took Fuaga, because Fuaga is one of those nasty, mean run blockers. Is Ramczyk hurt? What's the status there? Is Fuaga going to be the left tackle?
Good question. That's a good question because
he played right tackle his last year at Oregon.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I really like Fuaga's tape. You know, one reason some people saw him as a guard, which is not what he's going to play with the Saints, I don't believe, is, you know, the arm length. There's a lot of people who believe that arm length is a factor in guys being able to play tackle. And his arm length is not exactly what you want. It's not horrible, but it's not exactly what you want. But he's a mean, nasty run blocker. And, you know, and I think he's athletic enough to pass protect. Every once in a while, he might have an issue just with lateral range against great pass rushers. But, you know, he's a big dude and he's physical and he's, you know, he's the kind of guy, if you want to develop your offense around the run game, he's a tempo setter. He's that kind of player.
Ooh, they need that.
They need it. The question of offensive line is so, like, you asked it and we are as in tune with the team as anyone. Right. And it's such a, we don't know what Trevor Penning is. We don't know what the team's plan with Trevor Penning is. And so
Look, you guys know I can only give you my evaluation of players. Right. You know, it doesn't make me right or wrong. Most people who know who I am know that I work my tail off and study this.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be wrong on guys. Everybody's right on guys. Everybody's wrong on guys. I did not love Trevor Penning coming out. They obviously did. Who knows what he'll be? He's still only going into his third year. Maybe he turns out to be a player. So we'll see what happens. But I did really like Fuaga's tape.
Excuse me. It's funny we're talking about Fuaga, but it seems like the jewel of this Saints draft class is Spencer Rattler. And it could just be the first year of Derek Carr. The Derek Carr experience wasn't the greatest, and some Saints fans were argue is like, well, the Raiders got rid of him for a reason. He gets a clean slate and new offense, right?
Yeah,
but there's like this hope building potentially that Spencer Rattler can be something more than just a backup that you drafted in the fifth round. What I know a lot of people who break down the game had a positive opinion of him as a prospect. What was your opinion of Spencer Rattler coming out Rattler's of South Carolina?
A really gifted thrower. I mean, he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school in the country out of Arizona. And he obviously went to Oklahoma, had that phenomenal freshman year. And then, obviously, whatever happened his sophomore year, they started Caleb Williams, and he obviously transferred to South Carolina, where he played behind one of the worst offensive lines in college football this past year, for a Power 5 offensive line, that is.
Right.
But he's a really, really gifted thrower. You know, I think that, I don't get into this, but I talk to people, so I know there were concerns about the kid. I can't speak to that. You know, maybe that's one reason he lasted until the fifth round. His talent level is better than fifth round, clearly. You know, a couple of things that do stand out that I think need to be worked on. I think at times he's a little bit of a see-it, throw-it quarterback as opposed to a timing anticipation quarterback. And that can get you in trouble in the NFL, even if you're a big-time arm. Like an example of a guy who was a see-it-throw-it guy and had a big-time arm and, again, had some success in the league was Jay Cutler. I mean, Jay Cutler had a big-time arm and could make wow throws any given week, but he just didn't have a natural feel for anticipation. So, you know, that gets you in trouble at times when you wait to see it before you throw it. You know, and I think Rattler at times is like that. I think Rattler at times has such confidence in his arm that he tries to make throws that are not really there. You know, can that be taught? Again, now you get down to the relationship between coach and the kid. You know, that's hard. That's really hard to talk about with any, you know, definitive answer. You know, you'd have to be part of that. You'd have to be in the meeting rooms. You'd have to be involved in the personal relationships. You know, I can't speak to that. But there's no question this kid's a gifted thrower. And if we're to all come together for him, does he have the talent to be a starting NFL quarterback? Absolutely. I can't sit here and say he'd be top five, top 10, top two. You know, no one knows that. There's way too many variables that go into that. But he certainly has the throwing talent to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, when the Saints drafted him and I went and I studied him after the fact, there was quite a bit of All-22 on YouTube, so I was able to go back and look at a lot. I was like, man, he's easily the most talented Saints quarterback, easily the most talented Saints quarterback that they've drafted in a long time, like since like Danny Werfel. Like,
well, Danny Werfel is not a big-time thrower.
Well, I know, I'm just saying. I can't even remember Danny Werfel. I'm just saying, like, who they've drafted. They had drafted, like, you know, Garrett Grayson.
Canfield.
Right. Ian Book. They haven't invested much into that position. So just from a talent standpoint, I was like, wow, this guy is talented. Like, what can it be? We don't know.
It's funny, Ryan, you mentioned that because I actually watched him after his freshman year at Oklahoma just because, you know, again, I never knew, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I thought based on what happened after his freshman year, this was a guy I wanted to take a peek at, you know, and just sort of stay up on. There were a lot of comparisons after his freshman year made to Patrick Mahomes, right or wrong. And by the way, I'm not a big believer in comparing anybody to Mahomes because Mahomes is a different cat. He's just one of those guys. He's different. You know, you can't start making those kinds of comparisons. But a lot of people said that because he had a really big arm. He can move and he made great throws on the run. You know, he can do all these things. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, he's not the starter this year, barring anything unforeseen. You know, it's crazy to say, and I know he was suspended last year. And he's not a big time talent, but I love the way Jay Kaner played in college. And I don't know how that's going to play out all through off season and through training camp. Who's going to be the backup? You know, we don't know that right now. But Jay Kaner was a guy. I just thought he was one of those really gutsy guys who threw it a little better than people gave him credit for. Not a big arm, you know, but he just was one of those guys I really enjoyed watching.
It's interesting because there was such like high praise for him in the building early last offseason when everything kicked off, and then it kind of just wavered off. We don't know if that was like the suspension or whatever it is, but like you said, likely Derek Carr is going to be the starter unless something unforeseen happens. I guess the question is defense, right? This, at the end of the day, Dennis Allen is a defensive head coach.
Yeah.
There's been some tweaks with the defense. We don't know what's going to happen with Marshawn Lattimore. That's kind of like this cloud hanging over the team. But just in general, what have you seen in terms of the Dennis Allen defense as him as a head coach that has worked, or some things that have changed over the years? Because there has been some slight declines in terms of, you could say, the caliber of being like a very good to great defense, I would say, over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dennis Allen has some clear staples that he likes. I mean, they play a lot of two high safeties, particularly on third down. They play a lot of two-man coverage. He's always been a really good blitzer. I mean, when I've talked to coaches around the league, they always bring up Dennis Allen's name as one of the most difficult defenses tactically to play against. You know, I think that the talent on the D line has kind of gone down a bit. And, you know, that's always a concern because you don't want to be able to, you want to be able to rush four and not always have to blitz. Obviously there are blitzes called simulated pressures where you do rush four and, you know, one or two of those blitzers are linebackers or DBs. But you still would like to line up and be able to rush four. You know, Cam Jordan's had a great career, and he's probably a Hall of Famer, but he is getting older. They signed Chase Young, who, quite frankly, guys, his tape last year with the 49ers was just okay. So you're hoping that you can get him to be what everybody thought that he could be when he was drafted. You know, Granderson has turned out to be a nice player.
Right.
We'll see what Isaiah Foskey is. He obviously didn't get a lot of snaps last year, but he was a second-round pick. So when you draft a guy in the second round, you're expecting him in his second year to at least get meaningful snaps. You know, so we have to wait and see. You know, none of us can answer that talking in mid-May. You know, so, and again, you can't sit here and say he's good, bad, and different. We don't know. But a second-round pick, you expect him to be a contributor in his second season for sure. So we'll see what happens there. I kind of liked Foskey coming out of Notre Dame. I don't know if he's a pure pass rusher, but I think he can be a solid player. So we'll see. I like their linebacking core a lot. I mean, they signed Willie Gay. So, I mean, DeMario Davis, who, you know, has been one of the better kind of multi-dimensional linebackers in the league for a long, long time. You know, he's still there. They have Werner, who's a nice player. They have Gay now. You know, so that's a nice linebacking core. We'll see, you know, obviously it depends how much they're going to play in their base defense, and we'll see who plays in their nickel. That's going to be a very interesting question. Who plays in their nickel?
Huge.
You know, because, you know, it became Davis and Werner, you know, we'll see if that's the case, because Willie Gay is a really good athlete, and he certainly played in the nickel with the Chiefs. So that's going to be something they're going to have to work through. You know, you mentioned Marshawn Lattimore hanging over them. That's why they drafted McKinstry, who's, I think, a really good press man corner. I think that's his game. He's a mirror match press man master. That's his game. So if Lattimore ends up not being there, it would not surprise me if McKinstry was a starter opposite of Debo.
So fascinating how that's going to play out. Then they have Alante Taylor, who you know, played really well as a rookie, as an outside corner. They moved in to the nickel last year to play nickel cornerback. Kind of up and down, had some positives and some negatives. And it's a lot of cornerbacks to try to figure out where do these guys go. It's going to be interesting how all that plays out.
Alante Taylor. I loved him coming out of Tennessee. You're right that his rookie year he played on the outside because of injury, and he did well. And last year, you know, it was a little up and down, as you said. But I think he's a good player. Like, I would imagine that he'll be a good player, and I think he can play in the slot. But we'll see. I mean, obviously Matthew's still there. He's been in the league a long time at one safety. I guess Howden at this point would be the other starting safety, correct? Right. They don't really have anybody else.
Yeah, they brought back Jonathan Abram, who obviously is not a safety, kind of used him in that line, like a linebacker role. He made plays last season, and they kind of brought him back.
Will Harris, who they also signed, he's played safety in his career too. So, again, this has to all play out.
Right. Someone asked this question in our chat, is how good of a fit is Carr for this type of offense that Clint Kubiak's going to bring?
I think theoretically, I think this offense is a good fit for every quarterback because what you're trying to do for quarterbacks is define their reads and throws. That's what you're trying to do. And theoretically, this offense does that. Think about, I'm not talking about the caliber of players on these teams. I'm talking about the schematics of the system. Think about Purdy with the Niners. Think about Tua with the Dolphins. Think about how often they're throwing the ball on time in rhythm because it's presented to them clearly. That's what you're trying to do. So, like I said, theoretically, this offense is a really good fit for any quarterback. You'd like to think that, Derek Carr will thrive in this style of offense. I mean, we spoke about a lot of the things that they're going to do that are going to be part of this offense, and that really does set up a quarterback well. I hate to use the cliche quarterback friendly because it's overused, but I mean, what you're trying to do is, look, every time coaches call plays, they're calling it based on a couple of things. They're calling it based on their sense of their personnel and the down and distance and the location on the field, and they're calling it on their sense of what the defense, probability-wise, is going to show them. That's what they do. This is why they study. That's what it's all about. So when you call a pass play, you're calling it with the hope, the big hope, that you can throw it to your primary receiver. That's the goal. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but that's what you're trying to do. So, theoretically, this offense presents situations where you can throw it within timing and structure to your primary receiver.
Speaking of receivers, Saints have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, A.T. Perry, and in the fifth round this year, they drafted Bub Means out of Pitt. I saw you and Doug Farr was talking about it on the podcast. What are your thoughts on him?
And again, when I say I liked him, I knew he wasn't going to be a day two pick, but I mean, he came from Pittsburgh. He's big and he can run. And it's funny, I was actually watching him with an NFL coach, who's in my office. And we kind of watched him, and we both came away going, that guy looks like an NFL receiver. He just looks like an NFL receiver. He's big. He can run. He caught the ball in the middle of the field. He had good hands. So whatever that means, we don't know that. There's so many unknowns right now. But
he played with some bad quarterbacking, too.
Bro. Oh, my God. Some bad. I think they played four or five different quarterbacks at Pitt this year. He would have had much bigger numbers if he played with, let's say, a good quarterback that could have played all season long. But no, this guy, I thought he was a really intriguing prospect.
Me and Ryan were talking about him on a last podcast episode, and I said, even if as a rookie he could bring a Robert Meacham element of just running deep post routes, just like his explosion is there. And I was surprised to see his actual measurables, because when you watch him play, he feels like he's a much bigger player than what his height actually is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he plays big. I mean, I really liked his tape. And we'll see. I mean, look, I really liked A.T. Perry when he came out of Wake Forest, and he started to develop, and now it looks like he'll clearly be, he may be, if they're in base personnel, two tight ends, my guess is it'll be at this moment in time, it would be Perry and Olave, right? I mean, I would think, you know, or they'll mix and match. But right. But I really liked AT Perry coming out. You know, they've got some big receivers now, some big physical receivers, and that's a good thing.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it absolutely is. What are kind of just getting kind of just taking a step back from the Saints, just general football, just what just general thoughts on some teams you liked, what they did this off season and plus draft of just team building, how it looks, quote unquote, on paper.
Adam, those are always hard questions for me because I'm not, you know, it's funny. When the NFL season ends, I just grind and grind watching college players. And so, you know, it's funny. I don't really think in those terms. Like right now, to me, it's the off season. I mean, I know the schedule comes out, and I'm not one who, you know, studies the schedule the second it comes out. You know, so – and I'm just being honest with you. I haven't really thought in those two. Like, I don't know what every team did in the draft right now, you know, off the top of my head. I don't know, hey, this team did really well. And the only way I can judge if I think a team did well is based on my evaluation. That's all I can do. You know, it's just because, let's say a team needed a left tackle and they draft a left tackle and I didn't like that guy on tape. I don't say, well, they had a great draft because they needed a left tackle and they drafted a left tackle. I mean, you know, the only way I can do it is based on my evaluation. And like I said, I'll be wrong, just like everybody's wrong on guys. But, you know, I'm not into the sort of the each team mode right now you know, of where they stand in the league. You know, I'll get there at some points, you know, sooner than later. Normally when the schedule does come out, I start kind of watching a little, you know, NFL tape again, just to kind of start to get back in the groove. But I really haven't watched any NFL tape since the end of the NFL season.
Yeah. I do have a quick question for you though. The Saints, allegedly the Saints play Carolina in week one. What went wrong, in your opinion, with Bryce Young? Because Adam, we like Bryce Young, and it was obviously bigger than him. I mean, it was. They had a ton of problems, but for him, do you think they've done enough to kind of, you know, have show his better self this year?
Well, I think a couple things. Bryce Young's a certain kind of quarterback. And many, you know, again, I'm not making a direct comparison to Drew Brees, so I don't want people listening to think I'm making an apples-to-apples comparison. But he's a small quarterback, and he does not have a big arm. So what does that mean? That means that he needs the depth of the pocket to be strong. So what does that mean? Just what Sean Payton did for years. You have to be strong at center and guard. They were not strong last year at center and guard. Now, they addressed that in the offseason. They signed two guards, Damian Lewis from Seattle and Robert Hunt from Miami, who they gave a boatload of money to. A
lot of money, too.
Yeah. So, you know, they understand that it has to work from the inside out with Bryce Young, because Bryce Young can't throw well if there's bodies around him, and particularly bodies in front of him. He just doesn't have that kind of arm. So, you know, that was a problem a year ago for sure. And I, you know, obviously I think they've tried to address too, you know, their receiver position drafting Xavier Leggett in the first round. So they'll, you know, in their mind, he'll be a starter. But they also drafted Jonathan Brooks. And I think for them, that is a big pick because they're going to have a meaningful run game with Bryce Young. Bryce Young is, and I really like Bryce Young, and I've gotten to know him personally. He's an incredible kid. He's super intelligent. But, you know, there's some limitations to what he is. And you can work around those limitations within the context of a complete offense. And they did not have that a year ago by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, they're trying to address that. I'm sure they'd like it to be a run-first offense. They also drafted Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas in the fourth round, who I really liked on tape. You might see a lot of 12 personnel, you know. So I think they're going to try to figure out how to get the best out of Bryce Young because it has to be done a certain way.
It makes a lot of sense in terms of just supporting him. Kind of in a different way, but all kind of similar to how Tua has had to have had that same – like different body, but like needs that support. Yeah. You know, in terms of how, you know, he's been successful now in Miami.
No, I mean, that's the McDaniel offense for Tua is about as perfect as it gets.
Right.
With all the motions and the quick rhythm throws. I mean, that's Tua's game. I mean, and I know people are going to say, well, he had the most 20 plus yard complete. You know, I get all that, but those are not sit on his back foot and drive the ball 45 yards down the field. It's right. Not those kinds of throws. So, you know, people have to understand that just because they see that stat on a stat sheet, that's not how they're getting their big plays. I mean, a fade ball is not an arm strength throw. So, you know, even a normal post is not truly an arm strength throw. You know, arm strain throws tend to be more the kinds of throws people don't think is arm strain throws, where you're sitting in the pocket and you have to drive the ball at 22 yards in the middle of the field between defenders. Those are arm strain throws. Tua doesn't make those throws because he can't really make those throws. But he's got great timing, great rhythm. He's really quick with his feet on his drop and his set and his delivery. And he's very accurate, you know, from, let's say, 18 yards and under. So, you know, this offense fits him to a T. And because of all the motion, they get all these receivers with free access off the ball. So the timing of the pass game is never disrupted.
Right. Last one I had to, don't want to take up too much of your time, Greg. And I don't know if you saw any of Christian Boyd from.
I did not. He's one guy I did not see. You know, yeah. I'm just pulling up there all your draft choices again. But I did not. Boyd was one guy I did not see. So the first round pick was Fuaga, who I loved. The second was McKinstry. Yeah. I saw four of the linebacker. Who else? I saw Means. We talked about him. We talked about Rattler. But Boyd was one guy I did not see.
Understandable. Nobody want to watch him.
By the way.
Nose tackle from Northern Illinois.
Yeah. By the way, there's one guy I'm real curious about this year because I thought he played well last year. And I'm really curious about Brian Abrisi because that guy's big and he's talented. And I think he can be a really, really good player. So, you know, and to me, he has to become that for this defense really to take the next step. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised, number one, at how many snaps he played last year.
Yeah.
And number two, how well he played. I thought he played well.
Did.
Me too.
As a rookie, and as Ryan would say, he was just like out there just trying to play out with athleticism and not really playing with like a plan, and he still was. He made a lot of plays as a rookie.
Yeah, because he was hurt a lot in college, and it was tough to get a real feel for him. Other than the fact that you saw the physical traits, and I actually met him a couple of years ago when he was in college at Clemson. He's a big dude now. I'm not sure people realize how big a dude this guy is.
Yeah. Every time I see him in the picture standing next to the other D lineman, I'm like, geez, he's huge.
but yeah, he played great. I think the sky is the limit for him. And you know, the defensive line is going to be such a huge part. Like we went through all the pass rushers earlier for the Saints, and like at not one point did Peyton Turner come up, because it just kind of shows like, and that's not like a slight towards him, but I'm just saying like that just shows just, you know, where.
I think Breece and Foskey are the two guys, Breece more so because we know he's done it and he played a lot. Right. Breece and Foskey are the two guys I'm very curious to see this year, you know, because look, one, it's your first round pick and your second round pick. You know, Breece played to his first round, you know,
absolutely,
pick, and Foskey did not. And, you know, now it's time for Foskey to at least be a contributor. I mean,
please.
Yeah. Please. He's got to play snaps and he's got to contribute.
Yes, he does. Thank you so much, Greg, for joining us. So, you know, noontime or 1 p.m., 1:30 p.m. where you are on the East Coast. We appreciate it. It's always an honor for you when you do come on. When football season gets going, please check out Greg on NFL Films and NFL Matchup and on ESPN. And then check out Greg's podcast that he does with Doug Farrar as well. It's always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you so much for your time and coming on and
appreciate
talking football.
Appreciate it, guys. It was a lot of fun. Good talk on the Saints. I loved it. Thanks.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Greg. Take care.
To everyone else who's still tuned in, Ryan and I will be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to go over the Saints schedule release. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.